Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 100, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Thursday, September 19th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. When You Wake Up. Well, we know we're going to be. We're going to be the podcast that you're listening to when you go out. Yeah, we know we're going to be. We're going to be the podcast you're listening to if you get drunk. Well, we know we're going to be. We're going to be the podcast that gets drunk next to you. And well, it'll have her up. Yeah, we know we're going to be. Gonna be the podcast havering to you, but we would cast 500 pods, and we would cast 500 more just to be the men who cast 1,000 pods to keep the zeitgeist at your door. Wow. All right, courtesy of Rich Jefferson. A long walk. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Zeit Gang in my skin! Second rate appeal! Blunts are what I roll! Taco Bell every meal!
Really making you guys work for it.
We call that Bidening.
Miles' eye is Bidening.
His pupils Bidened. Thank you so much to Cubone Fan 3 for that one. Yes, just keep these going. Someone did say they wanted to start hearing Radiohead, AKs. Maybe we'll three bands at a time is my max. Maybe we'll get into that. But for now,
I would actually know those songs.
Yeah. You don't know Crawling?
By
Linkin Park?
I know that song. I just generally don't know.
Did you have
I don't know Nickelback that well.
Oh, well, you know, not all of us.
You
have
missed a whole Nickelback run.
Oh, I've got one.
Oh, shit.
Someone sent me one.
Wait, how did you get in
to
here?
Be joined.
I didn't. Oh, sorry.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the front face, the top face on Mount Zeitmore.
Oh, shit.
Because those are arranged above one on top of
it's
each
a totem.
It's
right?
A row. Yeah, it's a totem, yeah. I guess. It's a maple.
It's
the other faces are mere blemishes on your face on Mount Zeitmore. You're the central face, and the other faces are the blemishes.
Are just, yeah, they're a part of the whole.
It's Jamie Loftus.
Oh, it's Jamie. Hi.
Okay, wait, let me start the track. Okay. All right. Cut my hair and shave my neck, because we all just want to be big hack stars and drive Zambonis to our favorite bars. Our takes are fire and the shots are cheap. By the end of this song, you'll see an inside whip. America, the coolest pods with our computers and their newest mods. Every podcaster's gonna record hair. Even my dog, Sunny, with his proud dog hair. Hey, I wanna be a hack star.
Woo!
So, yes, thank you.
Wow.
It was...
Wow.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I feel like I should have bought a ticket for that.
That was amazing yarling.
That was a stadium performance.
Yeah.
And also, I could see you have to make your mouth in the proper yarling shape to
There's
get those
embouchure.
Sounds out.
Yeah. There's a whole embouchure for
it. Wow. But... I should have known you. Yes, of course. Yes. Embouchure is very critical to any woodwind instrument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You get a little buzz still?
Oh, you want a little
buzz? You don't have to buzz on oboe, though, do you?
No, you don't buzz. You just focus the air, and then they're like, oh, oboe players give whack blowjobs because they blow really hard. Really?
I don't know any woodwind that sucks air through.
This is... they're like, no, flautist. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
This was all off the assumption that blowjobs involved blowing.
Blowing,
right.
Yeah.
Wait, were blowjobs named by someone who had never had one, do you think?
I like that theory.
What is
that person
story?
Blowing on that guy's penis.
I wonder if Allison Hannigan changed the game where people thought flutists were like really sexually active.
I don't know. I definitely wanted to be a flute player, but like all the cool girls played the flute and all the normal girls played the clarinet, and then everyone else, it was chaos.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, you know, one thing, you can count on oboe players, if they're about their shit, good with a knife, because they make their own reeds.
Dude, I was the only kid at school, there were three kids at school who were allowed to bring knives to school, and that was the fucking oboe section. We were allowed to have knives
oh, really?
At school.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was like the oboe player and two hall monitors.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and Steve, the janitor.
Sit in class, like, a warning.
Well, I would be honored to own a hand-carved Jamie Loftus oboe reed.
I still have my knife, so...
Great.
Oh, and then my AKA was by Clayton Barnes at Taxi CR, so thank you
Hell yeah,
so
Clayton,
much.
Well done.
So
well done, mate. Jamie, it's so good to have you back stateside.
So good to be back.
We missed you desperately.
Yeah. You guys too.
There are so many gaps in our Jeremy Renner coverage.
I know.
Really?
It just
I
didn't
was wondering
feel
how
right.
Siri, okay,
we,
thank
well,
you.
We honor you and we honor thank your place you. In the Jeremy, the lore of Jeremy Renner.
Dude, yeah. I mean, I was stripping nude to Jeremy Renner songs most days.
Right. At this
while
point,
I was
what's
gone.
The count now? 33, 32?
I've done it. Yeah, I've done it. I did 30 shows. That,
right.
And then I stopped taking off my top eventually because he just didn't deserve it anymore. But, you know, I
wow,
did a lot
that's
of.
Wow, that's kind of a shift.
It was, it's been a journey.
Yeah, well,
it's been a real journey.
So suffice to say, we will be probably, we're going to have to catch up on
yes,
Jeremy,
we
all
will.
Things
so
Renner.
Yes. And all things Jamie Loftus, what ooh. You've been up to.
Yeah.
But first, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Edgelord Fashion. It's
cool.
Edgelord Fashion Week.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
We're going to talk about food regulations, how that is kind of that just doesn't happen in the world these days. We're going to talk about a new game that puts you in the shoes of Jeremy Renner on that fateful day.
This I'm very excited about.
That he had
about.
To shut down his app.
Meta as fuck. Okay.
Gorgeous.
And we're going to talk about SNL's decision to hire that Shane dude in the first place. What was motivating that? Because we have a little more insight into that.
Yeah.
And people are freaking out about Netflix canceling a show you may not have heard of.
What is it?
DOA.
Oh, is that the one with all the
flash mob dancing
lights and the, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh no!
Mm-hmm. Oh no!
I'll miss it.
People are be upset.
I loved that show.
But first, Jamie, we'd like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh shit! I forgot about my search history.
Oh my god!
I've been doing a lot of fucking cursed. Let me just take a quick. I've been ever since I got home. I don't know if I like haven't recovered or like what is going on. I was Googling veneers this morning because I was trying to figure out where Walton Goggins got his veneers, and because he doesn't have good veneers, right? He has iconic.
He's got veneers,
right?
They're the best and the worst. When people get their veneers and they're like, "No, I want every tooth to be the same length," right. You're like, "Okay, that's not good veneer work."
Right. Like, do you have an image of what you would like your teeth to look like? You hand to him like, "This is Jim Carrey from The Mask."
Just cut a nice plate in half and shove it in my mouth. It'll do. Like, I'm trying to figure out where people are getting their veneers because I manically canceled a dentist appointment yesterday because I got scared. So I was like, all right.
Wait, what did you get scared of? What was scary?
Are you going to get veneers?
First of all, it is my dream to get veneers. And I know that we're going to talk about SNL today, but we never talk about is the SNL tooth glow up. So really, when you get booted from SNL, you're mainly missing in on free veneers.
Amy Poehler had to sort her shit out.
I
remember when her tooth glow up occurred on that cast.
I mean, Pete Davidson has pretty bad veneers, but I'm trying to figure out who are the people. Can we have a reality show about veneers? Like,
right.
So I was looking up like the circumstances of Walton Goggins, and I was like, why does he need that many veneers? I guess he like got like in an accident and all his teeth got fucked up, and so. Like back before he had a lot of money.
So that's
why his veneers kind of suck. But then he became famous for having shitty looking veneers, and the cycle continues.
Did he really get famous for his veneers? I feel like he's also a good performer.
As we all know, he's
absolutely that veneer guy.
I do think that Walton Goggins wouldn't play as many villains if he didn't have veneers.
Yeah, well, it definitely does contribute to his look for sure. Right. I guess in my mind, I was thinking of like, Walton Goggins, the veneer guy, versus like, there's something about him that makes him real weird.
Yeah.
And then I Googled why a Swedish theme park that I went to isn't more famous. I became convinced that no one talks about the theme park and it's somehow hidden and something is wrong with it. But it turns out that I guess it wasn't as cool as I thought it was.
Oh really? What was so cool about it that made you ask that question in the first place?
Yeah.
Well, Jack, there was a lot of roller coasters.
Wow.
A lot? Like a...
There was a lot, and it was like right on the, it was like right near the water, and there was like the scariest thing I've ever been on, where it's like one of those towers where you drop, but this one would like lean you forward, so you're looking at the pavement like jumping off a building.
Oh, right. No.
It was terrible, and like all this kid stuff, but like really brutal like imagery of killing and death. It was a very metal theme park, and I liked it a lot. There's a picture of a man with a woman's ass for a nose.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember you posted. What's the name of the theme park?
Gronalund. It's in Stockholm. There's a toucan with an anatomically correct vagina in their haunted house. Why is that?
And human breasts.
Well, and human breasts.
Wow.
Next to a monkey thinking something. It was the scariest, like strangest place, and it cost $30 to go to.
I'm going.
And you gotta go. It
sounds metal as fuck.
It was metal as fuck.
Fucking metal.
And so those are my searches.
Those are good searches.
I also like that your outrage of sort of like, I mean, people need to know about this.
How
was this not talked about? Was it even on a TripAdvisor like list of like usually that's how you?
It's not in the top 100. I was like, how is this?
How did you find out? Did you stumble upon it?
Nah, I was looking for roller coasters, man. I'm a coaster head now. I just gotta. Yeah, I was looking for something that would improve my life and my relationship. And a lot of people choose coasters.
Okay,
it's very
so you're
wholesome.
You're part of La Coaster Nostra now.
Yeah, we're into it, which is a really horrible sentence.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're into it.
We're into it now.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, I've been collecting these. So the I think the top overrated right now is, have you guys, there's not a chance, but that new Amazon show called Carnival Row?
No.
Oh, it is overrated in that people watch it.
Wow.
It is underrated in that it is such a, like, I don't know, like Amazon does like weird old people TV a lot, but the premise is Orlando Bloom is a fairy cop, right? It's kind of like that horrible movie Bright, but steampunk.
Yeah. I saw the previews for this and they were like great special effects.
They were, which is not even true. It's Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne, two people who objectively have never been able to act a day in their lives.
Right.
Just flatlining the entire episode. Just like absolutely sucking. It's trying to, like, I think, pick up some Game of Thrones scraps where there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of gratuitous nudity. The fairies, when they have sex, float.
Wow. And
they, like Mormons?
Like, exactly like Mormons.
They're floating?
But it's about...
Miles, explain what floating is.
Wait.
My buddy who went to University of Utah was telling me about how, like, when this is in the early aughts, so I don't know if the nomenclature has changed since then.
Okay.
I'm old. But... on his football team, there are a lot of people who were like, who are Mormon but very religious, and you know, there would be debauched parties, and people talk about sex and things like that. And my buddy who is not Mormon was like, "What? He's like, you're a virgin?" He's like, "Well, you know, like, yeah, but like, you know, we float." And he was like, "What the fuck
what
is
that?"
And these other dudes were telling him, "It is insertion, it's penetration, penis vaginal penetration,
PMV.
But no pumping." You just dock at the station,
dock.
And then you float.
That's also a way to have sex.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like
I feel like
the lazy
exactly.
person's option.
I mean, right. Once you breach the castle wall, isn't the game over at
You're
that point?
In. You can't just be like, I live here.
Well, no, there's a difference. I live
just
here
hanging
now.
Out.
Yeah.
That could have been an accident.
Right.
Like,
I was like, wait, is the whole premise that it has something to do with a weird carnival world? Where
I don't understand where carnival comes in.
So it there's just, nothing... thematically having to do with the carnival?
Not that I know of yet. I've only seen the pilot episode, but they're throwing fucking everything at the wall. So here is the description. With a serial killer loose on Carnival Row and a government that turns a blind eye to the deaths of its lower class citizens, fairies, Ryecroft Philostrate, that's
no
plays Ryecroft Philostrate.
What?
A war-hardened investigator is the only person willing to stop the murders and maintain the fragile peace. But when Vignette Stonemoss, a fairy refugee, shows up in the burg, she forces Philo to reckon with a past he's trying to forget. So in the first episode, we're supposed to believe that like Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne want to fuck each other. It is not believable. But Cara Delevingne gets into like a boat accident. And she's the only survivor of the boat. And then they're like, you're arrested for surviving the boat accident.
Right.
For no reason. And then they're like, you're a man.
Survivor's loss.
Right. Exactly.
Right. It's like when you try and tell if a woman is a witch by, you know.
Is it Phyllis Schrade from Midsummer Night's Dream too?
I don't know. There may maybe.
I think it's a character, and
okay.
But I mean, I think in general, it's just I'm familiar with that.
Oh
name.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're I don't know. They're going for literally everything and hitting nothing. There's like a scene where Orlando Bloom is looking for a suspect, and he's like, I know he's bald and he has mutton chops, and then he's like, I know exactly where to go, and then the next scene takes place in this room full of bald guys with mutton chops. I'm like, what is this meeting? Like he's like, oh no, they're all bald and have mutton chops.
Holy.
The names of these characters are really something to...
Like, even the names are overwritten?
It's so much.
Ryecroft, Philostrate,
and the
Vignette,
Tourmaline, or...
Tourmaline?
Runyon Millworthy.
Runyon Millworthy?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What is that? Someone did cocaine and like spent some time in L.A. They're
Imogen,
like, Runyon,
Spurnrose.
And Ezra Spurnrose, of course. Also, Jared Harris is in it. Mr. Chernobes himself.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
He plays Absalom Breakspear.
Of course.
Breakspear? Absalom Breakspear.
Like, this is...
Oh, and he's
drunk.
Married to Piety Breakspear.
Piety Breakspear.
Who is played by Indira Varma from Game of Thrones.
And then there's a character named Jonah Breakspear who goes to the fairy... brothel has a very stupidly long sex scene.
Should I watch the pilot? Should people watch the pilot just to be in disbelief?
As a form of self-harm, you're welcome.
Is it painful, or could you kind of laugh your way through it?
No, it's fun. Like, pour yourself a gigantic glass of something.
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. I got home, and I forgot that when I left, the night I was packing and leaving, I'm like, I'm going to leave myself a Mike's Hard in the fridge. And when I get home, I'm going to be so happy.
And you had it?
Oh, I was looking out.
You're
yeah.
like, thank you, past Jamie, you for did. Looking after future Jamie.
You changed. But yeah, so the best, my favorite part of the pilot is when Jonah breaks spear, has just finished having sex with a fairy, and then he's like, I gotta pee. And then he
and his pee floats in three different directions?
No, he doesn't go to the bathroom. He's completely nude. He walks out onto a balcony where it's raining. I was like, where is he gonna pee? And then he's kidnapped. And that's like a whole scene.
They're like, we gotta get this guy out on the balcony where he can be kidnapped. What do we say? Say he has to pee.
Little post-coital piss he's gotta take. Right.
He doesn't want a UTI, okay?
Yeah, right. Seriously. I mean, look, let the kids
that's
know.
Perfectly fair. They want why to be, is he walking out
if they're,
why
if,
is but, he walking nude on a balcony? We don't know.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was a fun watch. I will not be continuing.
What is something you think is underrated?
Let's see. I've been thinking a lot about Rick Moranis's lips. I don't think that they get talked about
okay,
enough.
Okay, what's been going on? You've been tweeting a lot of pro-Moranis sexy tweeting.
I've just been thinking about him. I've just been, I don't know. No, I just been thinking about him since I got home.
I'm paraphrasing, but I remember you tweeting something to the effect of the Rick Moranis come out of retirement and fuck me challenge.
That was exactly
was
the
that
tweet.
Spot on because exactly those words are burned into my mind. I saw it once. I go, what the fuck is Jamie on right now? And I was like, I don't know what the new obsession is, but Rick Moranis's lips, huh?
His okay. If you haven't looked at his lips, he's got pillowy, beautiful lips.
Wow.
There's, yeah, really. He does. He's got really about that nice enough. Lips. People need to talk more about how
of Frederick Allen Moranis.
There's a photo of him where I thought he was sticking his tongue out, but it's just his lower lip.
Wow.
It's that pillowy.
I was just like, what's going on? I don't know. I was thinking about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids for some reason. Oh, it's because I was thinking about the Jessica Alba movie, Honey. He's got gorgeous lips.
Yeah, that is a huge lip.
But Rick Moranis just like retired 20 years ago, yeah. And people keep trying to be like, Rick, come on. And he's like, no, I like him.
Yeah. Well, he's like very much about like, he's like, I did that and now I'm in a different phase of my life.
Right.
Right. And I'm like, he's like, I took my lips elsewhere. You're took like, my, yeah. my God.
Took my lips to the wilds of Canada.
But I still hope he accepts my challenge.
He might. I wonder, could this would be such an amazing feat if you could somehow, you know, get Rick Moranis to respond to you, effectively bringing him somewhat out of retirement.
Right.
Not like, necessarily for the sex part, but for the interactions, no. for the notice me senpai.
I would absolutely take a thoughtfully written rejection letter from Rick.
Oh, what if, yeah, or like sealed with a kiss, good. A sealed with a kiss letter, rejection letter.
Ooh, he's such a class act. I don't know.
He's such a class act.
I love him.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, never accept an invitation from a rich person anywhere. Ever, 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 ever.
So the myth is people think you
people
should.
People think, oh, if like a someone
a rich
with
it's going to be a good time.
Right, could be fun. Could get a lot of cool free stuff or something like that.
Free stuff? I like that one.
I don't know. Just to get off the yeah, top of my head.
They probably
maybe
got a bunch
stuff.
Of iPads like in a stack that you can take. Like,
right. Right? Like napkins.
Clearly I've never met a rich person, but I'm like, you know, like they just got iPads around, but yeah. You could take one, they wouldn't notice. But so we had, when we were living, I was in Scotland for a month doing my show, and my boyfriend and I were staying in this apartment building, and there was like a fancy rich couple on the bottom floor that were like, they kept looking at us like they were going to cook us,
right?
Like,
oh wow,
it was like, it was,
they're like, she looks delicious,
right? They're just like, so what are you doing here? Like, they were
right, but and you could, how many people know you're here?
But like, it's like you could tell they had money, and you're just like, I don't really want to interact with this, but they kept pushing. They figured out what my birthday was. I don't know how, but I was there on my birthday,
what?
And they're like, "Come to church with us," and we went. And
come to church with us.
We went to church with them.
And
on your birthday?
On my birthday, I hadn't been to church in like 10 years, and I'm so glad my birthday.
Another year has passed, and you become a little wiser, and you realize what was missing.
God,
Christ's love,
the Lord. Yeah, I am a righteous gemstone.
Praise Christ.
There, but so we did that, and then on our last night, they were like, "Come down for a bottle of pop." Or, you know, they talk like fools.
Right.
So they were like, come down.
Is that soda?
No, it's champagne.
Oh,
so it's champers.
We're like, I'll go. And we proceeded to have, Caitlin was there as well.
Okay.
We proceeded to have, I think, the most insane dinner I've ever had in my life. There was no food. There was no food. There was just champagne. And we were just sitting with this older rich couple. And they were just talking at us. Like, there was, I was trying to get a word in edgewise for the first 20 minutes, and we're like, they're just going to talk.
Oh, you're doing monologues at me.
Right.
I took so many notes.
Like, while it was happening?
A little bit, but then mostly after. We just went upstairs, and I was like, let's just get this all. Because they were some, like, chaotic rich people, where she was, like, a socialite. He had worked at Halliburton, so he was, like, bad.
Oh, okay.
He had a twisty mustache, and he worked at Halliburton.
Holy shit.
She used to work for Ted Turner, and she's like, I stole his credit card once and bought a mink, and he said, you saucy lady, don't do that again. Like, they were just saying.
Just anecdotes that have, this is all common ground for us.
The man had an affair with Stevie Nicks, but then she found out he worked for Halliburton, and she dumped him. It was like,
did you tweet about that?
Yes.
About some dude who I met somebody who fucked Stevie Nicks.
Fucked Stevie Nicks. And then everyone's like, Stevie Nicks fucked him. I was like, fair.
Okay.
But still, the story, it's so fucking, he was also married to a member of the Bush family. He's like, I can't say which, everything.
You think
they were
married?
Were they truthful, do you think? Or did they, you think it was like half? Like, just major self-aggrandizing and...
No, unfortunately, because I myself, I fact-checked a lot of it.
Oh, right. And it's all checking out.
It's all true. They're like, sort of low-key, like, Scottish tabloid stars past their prime a little bit. Like, they were reported a lot in, lot in, like, the late 90s and early 2000s. And, it was absolutely...
I'm just really upset
that... The strangest dinner I've ever had.
They called it a dinner, and you go... And there's absolutely no food.
There was olives. And they kept... And
that's
they,
not... But, you know, and I don't know why I'm hung up on this, but I would have been like, I'm not trying to be rude, but is there food at all? This is a dinner, and we're just drinking champagne, and you're doing monologues at me.
They invited her to church on her birthday.
On my birthday.
Yeah.
I got saved.
I mean, I guess for sure, for
like,
you, knowing you...
Because it was her birthday.
Right.
Not like...
Like, it's your birthday, we should
accident.
Go to church.
It was,
yeah.
So, like...
I know what you'll want to do.
Caitlin thought it was like she was getting vibes from them that was like the Rosemary's Baby people.
Right.
But I was getting vibes that was like, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah.
They just wanted because they were talking about weirdly horny stuff at certain times. They're like,
things that occurred to me were there were swingers who were like trying to recruit you guys in,
right.
Or and also cocaine sounds like it could be.
We should have fucked them.
You should have
the story
for the coke. But yeah, and then Stevie Nicks.
The Stevie Nicks
famous cocaine
story. I hope this isn't giving away too much, but she kept identifying herself as Princess Peapod, and he was like calling himself, I don't know, it was something Scottish, but he
Holy
was like
shit.
Captain like Huge Dick or whatever. And he's like, I remember the first time I saw you in those fishnets, and I was like, they're trying to fuck us. Like,
right.
What? That's why there's no food.
Wow.
They're just trying to get us drunk, so we'll fuck them.
Oh, no.
We didn't fuck them, but I have their
Good.
Emails.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's always still on the table. Well, you have done nothing to dissuade me from accepting an invitation
yeah,
from rich people.
Busted.
That sounds like the most fascinating.
At worst, it's a bad dinner.
They're right. Halliburton employees who are going to try to fuck you.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying.
Yes, please.
I could only be honored if someone from Halliburton wanted to fuck me.
I was like, man, he's got like Halliburton lube. Like he's got, right. He's just like, right. Let's slick right. things up.
Let's have a Halliburton penis pump.
There.
It all works. It's all Halliburton.
Horrible.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And it is Edgelord Fashion Week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on?
There's a brand called Bistroy. And before we get into what that brand's about, I think most people on the internet saw this where at their, they're showing their, I don't know, their spring, summer, or fall line for this year. Probably fall, considering the time of year it is. And one of the pieces, or a few pieces they had marched out, were these hooded sweatshirts with the names of schools like Sandy Hook, Stoneman Douglas, Columbine, Virginia Tech, and they had holes in them, like bullet holes in them. And they were like, you know, looking like distressed hoodies for like people who want to look like they can afford a $300 rag hoodie. And everyone was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is very flippant, insensitive. We're not sure what the fuck you mean. Obviously, everyone started focusing their attention on this because it was so tasteless. I think it's clear. I don't know. Like, their other clothes were interesting. I looked on their Instagram page. They did have a shirt that was like almost like a joke we've talked about, where the neckline is so low, your nipples are just hanging out. I'm not joking. Like, look at this.
Wait.
This is a shirt for a man. Yeah. It's intentionally
That's a scoop neck, Miles. That's a scoop neck.
How? Well, what kind of scoop is that? Is that? What's the scoop?
That is a shovel scoop. Neck.
Yeah.
That is not a scoop neck.
That is a, yeah. Anyway, so this whole brand, everyone was giving them all this flack. So the thing about Bistroy, man, just so you know, the designers, Brick Owens.
Oh, yeah.
Which no!
Has to be a fake name because I think it's a play on Rick Owens. And Dieter Du Grams. Right. They describe their brand as a neo-native menswear design house, creating and communicating from a time after now.
Oh, sick, man.
So they're from the future. And
yeah. And then their explanation
and
did not do
future,
them.
In the future, we all dress like
insensitive
edgy, Abercrombie and Fitch.
It's been such a horrible year for edgelord Discord. Like, things are just getting worse and worse. And, like, the story is like this. Every time I see something like this, you're just like, oh, this is, like, designed to, like, piss people off, and then people will be aware of this horrific brand.
Because their other clothing is very, it's not like trying to make peace, like, statements. It's just like really oddly fitting shit. But, you know, what do I know? I'm an old man now.
It's so sinister.
But their explanation really didn't help them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their explanation for this line goes as follows. Sometimes life can be painfully ironic, like the irony of dying violently in a place you consider to be a safe, controlled environment like school. We're reminded all the time of life's fragility, shortness, and unpredictability, yet we are also reminded of its infinite potential. It is this push and pull that creates the circular motion that is the cycle of life. Nirvana is the goal we hope to reach through meditation and healthy practices that counter our destructive habits. Samsara is the cycle we must transcend to reach nirvana.
And
in the meantime, let's fuck up our karma.
This really is like a edgy, like, middle school Halloween costume from, like, the 90s.
This was like the kind of shit, like, if I was 14 around the time when Columbine happened, I'm like, what if you did that for Halloween?
Right.
And people be like, and then you'd be kicked out of school.
Right.
I mean, this isn't painful irony. It's painfully transparent opportunism is what this is.
Yeah.
And it's disguised as fashion. And it's just part of this dumb fucking trend of shit like this, of being like, let's offend, and then we don't have to apologize. All press is good press.
Exactly.
Let's keep it moving. And I think, you know, and even if they really wanted to, right, like, this is probably the, if they really were about art or something, right, or creating some kind of commentary, just a literal depiction of a sweatshirt with the school with the holes to it is not going to start a conversation or provoke thought. It's just,
and there's no attempt to, like, give any of the money anywhere. Like, it's just like self-serving bullshit that is just designed to get people to get mad at them. And I'm mad so much that I just don't have time.
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk about the guy with the Halliburton.
I'm never going to see them again. I should just name them. But
what if they come and they sue you?
What if they fucking sue me?
That would be a tragically Jamie Loftus thing.
I should have just fucked them, honestly, and never spoken about it again. Because if I had fucked them, I could never talk about it.
Yeah.
Because like, if you have sex with a Halliburton employee, you really have to carry that with you.
Yeah.
Like,
through your life and into eternity.
He had a fragile brain. I don't know. He had gotten a brain. They kept saying fragile brain, but he had a brain injury. And, you know, I didn't, but he then was like, yeah, I drove off a cliff on my motorcycle the day after I retired. And you're like, on purpose? And he was just like, we'll never know. So brain hasn't been the same since I drove that motorcycle off that cliff. You're like,
holy shit.
What is Stevie Nicks like?
I mean, nothing is going to top that.
I mean, we're talking the news.
I don't know how we pivot.
How
out
we
of that.
Pivot.
So
out
we
of...
acknowledge that we can't pivot out of it. In the name of transparency.
So now we live here. We've docked.
I think this podcast should now be about those people.
Yeah.
From now on. Let's talk instead about food regulators.
Regulators.
Mount up. So this is. We've talked, I think, before about how in the U.S. food regulation is just a joke, like the USDA. Like the food pyramid that we all grew up on is a joke that is at least partially influenced by huge food companies. And, you know, what one of the ideas that seems to be behind a lot of U.S. food and nutrition is like, not that you should consume less or change what you're consuming, just that you should, like, be more active, but that, in fact, you should maybe consume more. Like, the food pyramid is like, eat your way to health, by eating these foods all the time.
Loaf
eat from
of bread
each of these industries.
Right. A loaf of bread as one of your servings.
Even when I was like a kid, I'm like, do I need this much bread? Like,
teacher, how many breads do I do a day?
They're like nine breads a day. It was 8 to 9 breads.
8 to 9 servings of grains and
you know what's
bread.
Funny? Wow. Now that I think about this, in school we had to do a food pyramid coloring thing.
Yeah.
And my mom, now I'm having a very vivid memory of her saying it was bullshit.
It was complete
bullshit.
Because
she was like, we didn't eat like this in Japan.
No.
And right. We like live as long as everybody else. She's like, 9 breads?
The one I have.
Japan lives much longer than everybody, or not everybody, but definitely longer than
we're out here. People in America. But I'm not doing myself any favors with this Taco Bell.
Miles is never going to die. But the one I used when I was a kid, it was 6 to 11 breads.
No.
Yes. 6 to 11. It was the bottom of the pyramid.
Right. But I guess that's a carb, a starch, have your pasta sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, your pasta and rice today. Panini.
Yeah. Get me some flour in these veins.
6 to 11 breads.
But yeah, so there's a reason that we were getting all of this complete bullshit, and it's that the food industry kind of realized that if there were going to be these regulating forces, regulating committees, they would create their own regulating committees and put like big food scientists on those regulating committees and just like have the meetings for them at 5-star hotels, and they would fly like nutritionists out to them and stuff. So there's one in particular that's called the ILSI. It is the
International Life Sciences Institute.
The International Life Science, which sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds
International Life Sciences.
I like the word international. I like life. I like science institute.
Right. Institutes are fine. But it's so during the 80s and 90s, they were basically doing the bidding of the tobacco industry. They also have done work for, or people who were trustees on their board have been named to committees for different governments where they overrode existing like accepted science. For instance, there was the Monsanto. What's the Monsanto thing that
Roundup?
Roundup, yeah. So there was a World Health Organization study that said that Monsanto's Roundup had an ingredient that was carcinogenic.
Right.
And that was accepted science. And then a person from this Life Science Institute worked on a committee that overrode that and said that it, quote, probably isn't carcinogenic.
Wait, but how does this Life Science Institute work? Because, like, if it's a non-governmental body, how are they influencing?
They just get, like, named. Like, they just become incredibly influential by recruiting, major people.
Inoculating them, educating them, sending them out into the world with their stamp on their back. I'm ILSI approved.
It was founded by a Coca-Cola executive and seems to share key parts of Coca-Cola's nutrition philosophy, which is
wait, there's a Coca-Cola nutritional philosophy?
Yeah, well, the way it's basically a marketing strategy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that you stress physical activity over dietary changes. So, you know, all those stories where it was like your sedentary, your sedentary lifestyle is the cause of your obesity.
It's just another, it's like another blamey tact of like, you got to eat all our shit, but you also have to run 6 hours a day so that our shit doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, hold on. The option isn't going to be don't stop eating the poison now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just do some other shit to offset it. The reason you don't like meth is because you're not sleeping enough. So sleep more. Continue to do meth.
Your body's really failing to process this poison.
Yeah.
Like, it really, ugh.
But because people are sort of onto them in Western media, they're really focusing a lot of, and not completely onto them. Like, they're still incredibly influential and way more influential than, like, the USDA or the FDA in America. Because they're just, like, the actual things that are supposed to be looking out for us are being outspent by these huge companies. But they're focusing a lot of their energy on China, India, and Brazil, the world's first and second biggest, most populous nations, and then sixth most populous. And China, like the head person in charge of nutrition in China, is also like a board member of this company.
Wow.
Cool.
Last year, the candy maker Mars withdrew from ILSI, saying it could no longer support an organization that funds advocacy-led studies.
No.
So, it, like Mars, the candy what company, the was fuck? Like...
The green M&M's like, I'm out.
So your life science institute is too corrupt for us, Mars, a candy company.
Jesus. Yeah. And like, we're pushing sugar.
Right.
Straight sugar. And we're like, hey, I mean, like, we're trying to be a little bit real about this.
Yeah.
Shit.
Speaking of sugar, they basically did what they did with Roundup. They also did two various studies around the world that were basically saying that sugar is bad for you. Like the World Health Organization has been trying to get the message out that sugar is bad for you, but then they keep getting kind of pushed down by various governmental organizations that are headed up by people from the ILSI. So India is really like struggling with obesity. They've with just different Western food companies moving in. 70 million people have diabetes, and people think that that number is going to go to 123 million in the next decade. So the government is doing things like putting a 40% tax on sugar-sweetened soda, and putting, they were going to put this big red label on all foods that didn't have the right, you know, ratios of like nutrition to food mass.
To basically power your human body.
Right. And this dude came in and basically stalled it. And he was from the ILSI.
So it's like the Coke network, basically,
right,
where like you have lobbyists or people at think tanks who are just like, okay,
yeah,
this is the prevailing thought we need to like infiltrate all these agencies with. Now go forth and wreak profits.
Just yeah, like a snake getting its own tail of various yes men. I would watch this Adam McKay movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the food industry and, you know, the tobacco industry, the food industry is basically the where the tobacco industry, like, policies went. And it's just such a transparent, like, it's just capitalism showing its ass, basically.
And what an ass it is.
Woo, what a big, juicy ass. And it could only be powered by Coca-Cola. How you get that booty? Sugar.
Yes.
Sugar, right, fat, and salt.
Sugar, fat, running 6 hours a day.
Running 6 hours a day, going to the gym too. That's how you get these ratios.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad I was already frightened about sugar when I just saw that one YouTube video where they cooked the sugar in a, like a can of Coke down into like its,
oh no,
caramelized sludge.
Oh no. Yeah.
And like when you visually see like what that cooks down, it's like, ah. Okay, yeah, so like, I'll drink one a day.
It looks like tar.
Yeah.
It's so weird, like, how much we know. Like, I did a quote-unquote science experiment when I was in... Uh-huh. But, like, I just killed someone.
Like, a quote-unquote science experiment?
It was a decomposition project. No, uh-huh. It was... But we did, like, the experiment where you take your baby teeth and you put them in different sodas and
right,
see how quickly...
Oh, yeah, yeah, up. Yeah.
And Coke is always the one that, like... Like in 3 days, there'll be no tooth. Like the tooth,
man,
will disappear. Credit where credit's due to Edgar, Sprite, you know, it lasts. Your tooth, it's not going to thrive. But
you're not going to live. Yeah.
It's not going to die.
Mountain Dew, it starts growing another life form around it.
It starts growing a brain.
Code Red, it starts to speak English.
Yeah.
And it's really mad.
Yeah. And in Mexico, the head of ILSI Mexico was a former Coke executive. Somebody reported on it, and he was suspended for a year. And then
the journalist or the person?
No.
The regulator.
Person was suspended for a year. It became this big national controversy. And then he was immediately brought back in and is now the new executive director.
Wait, so they sidelined him because of this revelation?
Yeah.
And then they brought him right back.
Yeah.
So it was just like purely just for the appearance.
Or sorry, he didn't get brought back. They brought in a new executive director who was the former director of public affairs at Coca-Cola Mexico.
So essentially the same
right,
person.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So they just don't give a fuck. They'll just do the right thing as long as people are looking, but then they have ways of making people look the other direction. So yeah. good to keep in mind.
All right, don't forget have your 6 to 11 breads today.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Yes. I'm halfway. I'm like waist deep in various breads.
Yeah. Feeling a little lightheaded. I'm gonna shove a handful of pizza dough into my mouth. we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And Jamie, the last time you were here over a month ago, we were talking about Jeremy Renner because he had just released a series of Jeep ads that were delightful, scored to his music, starring him, playing his music,
You're
listening to his
attraction.
Music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's ride.
And then what happened? There was the app, and then was there also an Amazon thing?
There's an Amazon store.
What's the chronology of it? So, Jeep ads first. I remember that was when I wanted to, but I gotta hear you.
Well, the single was first. The single was not for the Jeep ad.
Oh, that's right.
That was just for the art.
Right.
And then Jeep heard that single heard that, and like, was like,
we gotta get Renner in.
Stop everything.
Away. So the app actually goes, the app has existed longer than all of this, just no one knew about it and no one was using it. But it's existed for, I think, over a year, maybe a year and a half. So that was going on. I bust in when he starts making music. That's when I start to engage with Renner culture, right? And so he releases the single, Jeep's like, stop everything. We've found our man. He churns out 3 incredible singles in a week, and it's just music videos of him kicking dirt near a Grand Cherokee. he's in his tour bus. People are like, "Hey, Jer, where are you going?" He's like, "I'm on the way to the Taika Waititi carnival," because there's Taika's like in a hot dog suit for one of the music videos.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Someone pointed that out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I texted you.
Yeah. I think
so then that happened, and everyone's like, "Wait a second, Jeremy Renner fucking rocks." So then he's like, "Okay, I'm on my like." He's just trying to get the money while it's there, and he's a beautiful artist, right? So people are getting involved. I download the Jeremy Renner app, I think, in I want to say like early July, and start posting screenshots of like the notifications. Right. And other people are picking up on the Jeremy Renner app as well. The Amazon store comes in at some point, which is just like a landing page.
Not as impressive. There's just pictures of him
in the wilderness, but like he doesn't really know how to be in the wilderness. Yeah. Like at one point, he's like drawing a bow and there's a bow and arrow target behind him. So he's like drawing the bow to just like shoot it off into the distance. I think there's a picture where he's like fishing in a campfire or something.
Yeah.
Or like,
wow. It's just outdoors. Yeah, just, and then it just links to like arrows that you can purchase. And then
for children.
But they're Jeremy Renner like endorsed arrows.
He is Hawkeye.
Right. So. I think that's where this whole thing comes from. It's like, I mean,
guys, he lives in New Mexico. We don't know. He's got a lot of property. So, anyways, the app is where the good shit is, right? Because I was getting push notifications minimum once a day, from the Jeremy Renner app and posting about them, and so the app is eventually, I think, like maybe a week and a half ago, abruptly shut down. And do you guys know like the circumstances it was shut down under?
I've heard vague mention.
Okay.
I don't know anything.
Around the campfire.
So my friend Stefan ends up getting the app shut down.
What?
Stefan Heck?
Stefan Heck.
Yeah.
So he had been seeing stuff that like, I mean, that everyone was posting about the Jeremy Renner app. And so he wrote an essay about it for Deadspin. It's a great essay. But basically what he does is, like, Jeremy Renner's always posting, like, "What's up, fam? What are you doing this week? Oh, have a rockin' weekend, everyone. What's the plan?" 3 question marks. Attached to a picture of Jeremy Renner holding binoculars from the Amazon shoot.
Right.
And Stefan would comment saying, I will be looking at porno on my computer. Right. So it's like a funny one-off thing. But then when people reply to him on the app, he gets a push notification that makes it look like their responses are coming from Jeremy Renner himself.
Oh, interesting.
So what he does is he kind of mobilizes people to start to post about porno on the app, and so that they can get all these Jeremy Renner responses. So it basically starts to look like all these pornographic responses are coming from Jeremy Renner. And, you know, there was an infrastructure for it. There was like a weird Casey Anthony subplot going on that I wasn't keeping track of. And like, there was like a lot of contempt for Stefan where whenever he posted, they're like, "Do not interact with the porno guy.
Right. He's trying to ruin our thing.
Do not talk to him." And then the solution, I mean, tragically, is one of my favorite posts that's ever been posted by Jeremy Renner, which
top 3 Renner posts.
It's the goodbye post. Could I read it?
Yeah. Yes, please.
I remember the second we were still on vacation when I did it, and I made my boyfriend help me memorize the entire thing so I could use it as an audition.
Can you do it from memory right now?
I can try. I mean, it took a little bit. I'll get as far as I can. So this is in, I believe it's Bradley Hand font.
Bradley Hand, of course.
Yes. I am so sorry. So it says this: "Goodbye. The app has jumped the shark, literally, due to clever intent."
Sorry, what?
What's your question?
Let's get through this, and then we can line by line it all.
I'll just write my questions down separately.
"The app has jumped the shark, literally, due to clever individuals that were able to manipulate ways to impersonate me and others within the app. I have asked EscapeX." the company that runs this app to shut it down immediately and refund anyone who has purchased any stars in the last 90 days. What was supposed to be a place for fans to connect with each other has turned into a place that is everything I detest and can't or won't condone. My sincere apologies for this to have not turned out the way it was intended. To all the super fans who have supported me with your words of encouragement, amazing art, stories, and time shared on the app, a genuine thank you. And I hope to see you on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. JR.
Oh, boy.
So acknowledging the complete uselessness of the app in the final sentence. Right. Being like,
and let's turn to traditional social media.
Also, this could be anywhere.
Acceptable as well.
So he's had it with people thinking that he was posting about porno on his shitty application.
Yeah, it's ruined too many careers. Everything he detests is people watching porno on their computers. Is that?
I don't think he wants people to think that
he watches. But that's such a strong statement.
I still don't know where to. I mean, it was.
And did his app become a gang member and literally jump a shark?
Right. Yeah. A jet.
Yeah. Yeah, it became like a West Side Story
just
gang
jumped
member.
A shark.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know.
What do you think he thought he meant when he said,
I don't know.
The app has jumped the shark literally?
Colloquially, people incorrectly use literally just to emphasize how jump the shark something is.
Right. But such an overtly figurative phrase that
it's like, I was so mad my head was on fire. Literally.
Right.
Wait, so your head was on fire? No. What does that mean?
I just mean a lot.
I was a lot mad.
I was a lot.
I only had three breads that day.
It jumped the shark a lot.
Yeah. This is, I think, the problem too, when people just hear phrases a lot and they sort of, through context, kind of figure out what it means without realizing like that it's a reference to happy days and like it was the moment they did a little too much.
Right.
Right.
But, you know.
A lot. One good argument.
In my mind, Jeremy,
not an accurate
Jeremy Renner would never, in his whole like mythos as a entity, as an artist, I don't think the concept of jumping the shark he would never even be like, oh my God, that would never happen. I would never do something. That's what jump the shark is? No. None of the work I do would ever jump the shark, even though everyone would argue that the phase of my career I'm in right now is the jump the shark phase.
He may be the shark at this point. We don't.
Right.
I think ultimately, so where I fall in all of this is by the end of the Jeremy Renner discourse, I'm tired. Right.
Mm. Wow.
For him? For yourself?
Honestly, for him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I still think that this is the weirdest use of privilege I've ever seen in my life.
Right. But it's fitting.
He's not hurting anyone. He's just trying to create a community of fellow Renners.
Yeah.
And now it's gonna be like, you know, like when you deplatform a community, they'll make another and they'll be angrier this time.
Right.
So there's going to be like a gab for Jeremy Renner fans because they got deplatformed by the Jeremy Renner app. It's just, you know, I just hope Jer's doing well.
I think he is.
Are people calling this the Renaissance?
The people are calling this the Renaissance.
Good, good, good.
And now there's
I would be disappointed in the internet if they hadn't.
But now there's that new game. There's like I haven't played it yet.
So there's a game that allows you to be Jeremy Renner on the day that the app jumps the shark.
I hope it's an empathetic.
The game is one that puts the player in the position of being Jeremy Renner?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. This is going to be dangerous for
me. It's visually very similar to Kim Kardashian Hollywood.
Right. Yeah.
We're used to like have to buy points to like glow yourself up.
Yeah.
I remember
exactly.
When that came out.
Yeah. So.
It was like 6 years ago or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. She made $168 million dollars off of it. Her game.
Oh, God, I did play that game.
So what do you do in the app exactly?
So it's a choose your own adventure game where you're interacting with your phone as Jeremy Renner on the day, that fateful day.
Right.
The 9/11 for the Renner community.
Uh-huh.
So you can do nothing.
Yeah.
You can just do nothing. But if you go into, it will put the Renner app or a version of the Renner app on your phone. And then if you go into the Renner app, you will discover trolls making fun of you. And
it's really, I mean.
And you then, so then you choose your own adventure.
You check your phone. What's first on the agenda? Updating my unofficial fan Tumblr that I run anonymously. Texting Christopher Winters, my business manager, app developer, and best friend. Checking Jeremy Renner, which is the name of my app, which I myself chose. Tweeting at Chris Evans. And then if you like, if you check the app, the next step is suddenly you spot another comment that reads, I was the only one not featured on the Avengers poster, and the name on the account, it's someone claiming to be you.
Yeah.
And the two options, is it me? Or that's the last straw.
Of course, the aggro option.
Yes. It was created by, written and created by Val Badurtha, which is, and the artwork is by Dan Ackerman, and well done.
It's terrific. Yeah, I mean,
just like I thought for a second it was going to, yeah, it's a troll game, but for people who love Jeremy Renner.
Right.
I love it.
It's true.
Apparently there's Tom Hanks had an app. Madonna has
Chris
had,
D'Elia has an app.
Yeah, he does.
Really? I
mean, yeah.
What happens in it?
I thank you for thinking I have it.
Yeah.
What happens, Jamie?
You know, hard to say.
It just says using way too many napkins.
There it is. All right, let's check in real quick with Shane Gillis because we're learning more about not why he was fired, but why he was hired in the first place. Apparently, that was an intentional decision to try and, like, Lorne Michaels has been at NBC long enough to have caught the both sidesism bug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he
was like, we need to get that blue collar comedy audience.
We need to appeal to the conservatives. I mean, everyone, like, I remember in the beginning, they're like, he had a really strong audition. And I was like, what the fuck? What was the reason who was so on its face, like, seemed like a really whack choice? Was his John Rocker character bit that good in the audition?
Right.
You know, so essentially, yes, like you're saying, he wanted to appeal to a more conservative viewers because. This was meant to, quote, counteract the appearance of a liberal bias on the show.
Which is, like, so corny, yeah.
So, I mean, what a terrible decision. Because I'm like, what exactly did they see in his routine that they're like, this guy's going to be just yummy, yummy, yummy for the conservatives.
Right.
And they're going to want to tune in because we put this dude on. Was it because he was doing, like, problematic shit? And they were like, this is a little edgy, his routine, but this is the kind of thing that conservatives are going to want? And I wasn't sure what about conservative viewers that they were like, what the strategy was like, do we embrace their terrible viewpoints to then bring them in?
Right. I mean, I don't really know. I think that it is kind of interesting that they like refer to like a flat out edgelord as conservative. Cause you don't like hear those two terms put together very often.
Right.
Like, I feel like you're more often like, oh, he's like an alt-right douchebag or whatever. But it is interesting to see like that high up because it's like, I have to believe that the people making these decisions are like, we got to get a conservative audience. Like, they're not super plugged in types of people. So, so just like, it was interesting just like hearing that, like that, because I don't know what this man's like political views. I've heard nothing but garbage about him for years.
Right.
But I don't know what his actual political views are. But there is like a contingency of people who say stuff like that under the umbrella of irony and then say that they're leftists.
Right.
And so it is kind of like this weird thing. And it's like hearing that that was the way that it's viewed from that perspective was interesting.
And I just don't understand, like...
Most of his comedy, apparently, is about being fiscally conservative. He doesn't think...
Yeah.
Pick
yourself up by your own bootstraps type shit.
It was just, like, my favorite club in Philly hasn't let him perform there in years because he's a piece of shit.
Like, well, the thing, too, is, like, you know, again, people who go on SNL, they're typically pulled from Upright Citizens Brigade, Groundlings, Second City, etc., those like improvisers or people who are on stage performing sketches, typically like the track to SNL.
And the other two people that they cast were like fit that bill exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so you have this stand up comedian who from what I know, I don't know him to be a like an actor, a comedic actor.
They've done stand ups throughout the history.
No, of course, of course. But I'm just saying, like, with the improvisers, you can go to a show, you understand what they do, they probably have a YouTube presence or whatever. But with, like, a stand-up, there's plenty of recorded material to go through. So I'm curious, like, why that vetting process was such a failure. And even the people they interviewed, now this is where I don't know if they knew and they just did it anyway, or they're that fucking lazy. Because in this Variety article of the people they spoke with, they said they agreed that SNL's vetting process was, quote, severely lacking in this case, as Gillis was well known in comedy circles for using the type of language and remarks that ultimately led to the show cutting ties with him before he ever made it to air. Michaels took the weekend to gather information before making Gillis's firing official
on
Monday.
Asking someone how to use a computer for all weekend.
So, guys, what's racism? Is this racist?
I mean, I just don't believe for a second that it was a failure of vetting, because it's like what he's known for. That's all. Like, there's not, it's one thing if it's like, oh, he has these horrible shit, but then he has this wholesome shit, and maybe people just saw that, but there's nothing else. That's all there was. So I think that's kind of, I mean, I believe that, you know, they're trying to get a conservative audience, but that's like a crock of shit to say that they didn't know that existed.
Right. And
that's
it's just cynical and just stupid too. And like, counterproductive to like creating any kind of, I mean, not that SNL is the height of like subversive comedic performance, but you know, like, why is there a concern that you need to appeal to a conservative audience? Is it purely for ratings to drive profits, or is it like, or truly out of this, you know, artistic idea of like, wow, is there a balance in the kind of commentary? Like, is there even worthwhile commentary from a conservative that like we can look at liberal politics in a way and laugh? Because I mean, for the most part, there are plenty of like liberals who can see the own dumb shit happening on their side of the fence and be like, this is dumb. But yeah, I guess when you see the motivation of like, well, we wanted more numbers.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I also think that it's like, even if, I mean, it's kind of inconceivable to me that they wouldn't know that people would dig stuff up and that it would become a huge story. I would almost liken it to like the edgelord fashion thing, where it's like you're just creating a controversy and it doesn't matter because people are talking about the show and it's at the expense of everyone who works there.
Yeah.
But it worked. Everyone is talking about it. I feel
like this is actually really bad press for them.
Yeah, oh, I don't think they anticipated that the reaction would be what it is.
I think that there's enough people working there that would know if you hire someone with demonstrable racist history that people will dig it up and
enough
be angry.
People,
but
yeah,
I think
the
people who are at the levels to make those decisions aren't as in touch.
Right.
And they're like, they're just worried, you know, I've been doing this for years.
Is a rich white dude. Who's been a rich white dude for a long, long time and is, probably out of touch.
I feel like that's kind of cutting them slack.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's enough people, like, that had to be a deliberate decision.
If it's deliberate, right? Do you think it's, because what I'm saying is, if it's deliberate, right? It wasn't the all press is good press kind of tactic. Was it that it's, let's just do this. We'll get fucking just flamed and actually like further add to the negative perception of the show.
Well, they would have kept him if he had done a better apology. Like, that's a part of that whole narrative too.
Right.
It was like they didn't fire him for his views. They fired him for his failure to do an actual apology.
Right.
So, I mean, there is a way that this played out, that this could have played out, that he would have kept his job. He was just not willing to apologize for saying horrible things, which is just like an extension of that ecosystem of like, I've been canceled. And he has a GoFundMe that has $30,000 in it right now. So it's just like,
he has a I've been canceled GoFundMe.
I don't know that he started it, but there is one.
Well, there's always going to be a GoFundMe.
And he's got the support of David Spade, Bill Burr,
Jim
Jefferies.
That trio. I just saw that clip of like these three weigh in on him. I was like, don't need to hear it.
Honestly, I don't know. I just find it hard to believe that it's like, we just didn't know what we were doing. I'm like, you fucking knew what you were doing.
Right. And then I guess then if that's the case, then I'm like fully like, well, then fully fuck SNL then. You know, seriously, because I mean, look, I know people who work on the show who are close friends of mine, and you know, I don't want to slag off the work that they do, but when you see like this kind of shit happening at the leadership level, it just adds to my cold heart where I'm like, I used to love this show. I check in like pretty regularly just to see what's going on, because it is like a, you know, the top, one of the, you know, top comedy
shows. It's like if your friends are working on it too, you're like,
yeah, you're interested.
Of course I want to see.
But then when you know, like behind the scenes, if it's sort of like,
you know, let's just fuck around with the culture wars. Let's just do this for the sake of ratings. I mean, I guess we should be cynical about all media in that sense, but
I mean, they had Donald Trump on during the rise of Donald Trump,
right?
As like a, as the host.
There's all sorts of shit. I mean, I don't know. I ultimately it's such a bummer that like that story that refused to die like took away a big day from like two very talented performers.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, then it just became about this asshole who I fully believe everyone knew was an asshole. And then he was the whole story and he will continue in the whole like argument of like, you're stealing his livelihood. I'm like, dude, he's got a fucking GoFundMe with thousands of dollars in it. He's going to be fine. He's going to go on the I've Been Canceled tour. He's got, you know, he'll be on Rogan within 2 weeks.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
just like
smoking blunts.
To the point where it's like not even surprising. It's just exhausting and you're just watching it happen and it's just like, what was the fucking point of all this? Like
right.
who benefits from it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean I only see a lot of people who are not like Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang who ultimately suffer.
Yeah.
Like as a whole part of this because it's essentially completely I bet most people don't even know who was hired. Because the second the announcement came out, I think people don't might if you're not in comedy, you wouldn't know. But then
right.
on top of that, all the news just becomes about this person. And you wouldn't know that you have two really great performers coming on now.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and they'll and once the show starts, they'll shine in their own right and it'll be okay. But it's just yeah, like the way that these stories sort of overshadow things that were really, really cool and positive and oh, it just
I do wonder if there was some like conscious like math going on where they were like, well, because we're doing a progressive thing by having like a more diverse cast, if we can like get away with adding
casting a racist, I just like if that is true, that's like the most pathetic thing in the entire
world.
Yeah,
what the right. fuck kind of calculus
I
is that?
I'm just like, everyone is like, I need to tell you my opinion on comedy. I'm like, why? You're a fucking right. like data analyst. I don't want to know what you think.
Well, I just need right. you to know that PC culture is actually destroying comedy. How do I know?
Right, just
I
like
work on PCs.
Anyone who swan dive into your mentions right. and right. just be like, actually, you're like. It's just so, yeah, like that whole like irony poisoned community is just fucking exhausting.
And we talked about this yesterday too, but I think it's also a thing of an existential threat to people who think that's funny and are performers realizing, mm-hmm. guess what, dude, the shit that you're like working off of isn't like there's a very limited time on that. Like right. and not many people are fucking yeah. with it. And I think that's why a lot of people have to defend it. Because they're like, but my whole existence is based on like doing this fucking like winky wink racism shit.
Right. It's my whole personality.
Yeah. And they're like, and if that's canceled, what am I? I'm not going to go back to fucking
but it's like
teaching children.
Well, the thing that's frustrating too. Yeah. I mean, it's but the thing that's frustrating is there is a thriving like group of people who are really into that kind of comedy. And it just gets worse and worse and worse as the comedians who are doing it double down and double down yeah. and double down of like whatever, like SJW is taking them down. It's just some of the Patreon statistics are alarming. It's scary.
What do you mean?
I just mean that there's a lot of money in being canceled and playing.
Oh,
into
and
it.
Right, and then having your like you have a Patreon where you can be like, well, then I have people who sympathize with my views and
being
will fund
even
my
more
life.
Outwardly racist could make you a right. lot of money in yeah. certain circles. It's just like, yeah,
it's exhausting it's for really all of us and for Jeremy Renner.
For, I mean, yeah,
think about how tired
Jeremy.
Jeremy Renner
the real
is.
Story. Yeah. I actually
and see, and this
don't...
is taking away too from Jeremy Renner.
He should be taking up more space. Jeremy yeah. Renner doesn't believe in the wage gap, and that's
of course
doesn't believe
not.
In it.
Where's that? Yeah, where's that good
it's
old
all state of mind? You know,
where's that right. good old fashioned bullshit? It's just like the wage gap. What are you talking about?
I think so, you mean thigh gap?
There,
like, what?
Well, Jamie, it's been a pleasure having you.
Hey, thanks for. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's so good to have you back. Where can people find you?
You can find me online at Jamie Loftus Help on Twitter, at Jamie Christ Superstar on Instagram. I'm doing my show I brought back from Edinburgh Fringe a couple more times in New York and LA. So there's tickets to that up now too.
All right. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I've been enjoying all the talk about Thomas Middleditch's Playboy interview.
Oh, yeah.
How do we miss that?
The user, Nora Horvath, at I am Nora Horvath. LMAO, sometimes I'm sad to be single, but at least I'm not Thomas Middleditch's wife.
I know,
like, it's
man.
Just, he, so yeah, he did an interview with my former employer, Playboy. And he's
our former employer.
It's true. It's so embarrassing.
Yes.
I know. I hate thinking about it. But he does this horrible interview where he's describing about how he and his wife are swinging, which is totally fine, do your thing. But the way he describes it is so, he's like, I'm gas and she's brakes. Like, he just, he's basically just saying, like, I want to fuck my fans.
Yeah. Like, and like,
why can't
and she
I...
can either fucking get in or get out.
Yeah.
It's like, this doesn't sound like a thing in agreement. It sounds like this person's held hostage.
Sounds like you bullied your wife into letting you fuck your fans. But like, I mean, I don't know. I hope that she's happy.
She's with it, and that's her decision.
Thomas Middleditch is like a known fucking loser, though. Like,
really?
Just go to the Museum of Broken Relationships if you want to know a thing or two about Thomas Middleditch.
Whoa. T report.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And some tweets that I like today. One is from, it's a quote tweet. I'm doing a few quote tweets, so they're going to take a little explanation. One, it says, coughing season is coming. Okay, and this is an image of a guy sneezing into a tissue.
No, it isn't.
And it's someone's crumpled up eye. You know, like when you're sneezing, your eyes are closed very vigorously.
That's
and
a
the
butthole.
Quote tweet, someone
That's
says, damn, I'm so hungry, I thought this was an asshole. Because this shit looked like an asshole.
It looks
I'm
like
so hungry.
Reductress, at Reductress. Oh, and that tweet was from Carlos, at shit Carlos _ says. Another one, Reductress. Gabby wants to, quote, lay low for her birthday. But does that mean she wants me to plan something? Someone who had a birthday, I can guarantee you that's what that means.
It's saying, God, I had a birthday.
I don't want to think about it, but if you want to do something, I'm not going to be mad at it.
Right.
Next, another quote tweet. It's a video from this account, Imam Muhammad Tahwidi, and it says, a five-month-old baby was kidnapped and carried to Dubai from Karachi inside a travel bag. Fortunately, it was detected at Dubai airport, and the baby was found safe. And, okay, so in the video, you can see...
You're quote-tweeting the hell. You're describing a video of a baby.
So first, you see a video of these people, like, at a customs agency, right, opening up a bag from zipped and revealing
my
a baby.
God.
Okay,
a
and this child is
baby.
In a bag. The quote tweet now comes from at Billy Bob Sanders. It says, "Hey yo, zip his ass back up. We need to get a video of this."
Oh my God, that's
because if you think about it, it's like,
yeah.
Did you wait to open it with the camera, or did you be like, okay, hold on, yeah. Or don't open it. Either way, it's like, I hear a baby crying in this bag. Hold on. This could be a good video. Don't open it yet. Or you had to redo the shit for the fucking video. Don't know.
Brutal.
Dan White at Dan White tweeted, well, I guess my son is officially at that age. And then it's a Google search history. Boobies, naked big boobies, sex, huge sex. Naked six. Women, boobies plus butt on women, full nipple. And then, why is my penis so much larger than my dad's? micro penis. And then, is my dad sick? _ plus small penis.
Oh my God! That one got you.
That one got me, man.
Jake's crying.
This is what he looked like when he was watching "I Think You Should Leave Now" on an airplane in his headphones, scaring passengers next to him.
Yeah, Anna was sitting next to me. There was somebody in between Anna and I, and she said that
refused to notice him.
I was fully unaware of how scared he was, of how hard I was laughing. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. Sorry. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we write out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is from Caribou. It's an old song from 2005, actually. But I was actually thinking because of Playboy, the Playboy Mansion. We've been to the Playboy Mansion.
I have not.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I never invited.
I should upload a video of me drunkenly walking into a gigantic window that I thought was a door. Because I was like trying to show out. Anyway, this track is called The Spiritually Immature Mansion. Because I felt like maybe this was a weird jab at the Playboy Mansion. But this is called The Spiritually Immature Mansion from Caribou. You know, pretty straightforward track. But I like the editing of the drums. If you like drums, a little some edited drums in there, some nice fills and etc. Listen to it if you like.
Cool.
Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.